today from Chuck Swindoll.
You could not be nearer to God than you are when you believe, the moment you believe, and you are never not near to Him from then on. Positionally, you are actually in Christ. In Christ. In the righteous one. That's grace.
In a recent program, Chuck Swindoll made this helpful observation. He said, "Of all the struggles we wrestle with, none is more relentless than sin. Just plain old sin. It dogs our steps. It plays no favorites. It refuses to go away. Like a coiled rattler that strikes and bites, sin leaves us in the venom of guilt and shame." Today on Insight for Living, Chuck is teaching from Paul's letter of liberation. Galatians was written to help us understand the pitfalls of our sin and the amazing grace that restores us. We'll begin by reading the passage together.
Please turn in your Bibles to the small letter Paul wrote to the Galatians. Galatians 1:6. "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Now turn to chapter 5. A few verses from this chapter, beginning at verse 1. "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Verse 13. "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." Our hope today is that just as God spoke to us last time on the importance of forgiveness, the forgiveness of God, so He will speak to us today on the grace of God, which is at the root of forgiveness.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into the Bible with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insight.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck titled, "Giving Thanks for God's Grace."
I love it that our American holiday is named Thanksgiving. Every November, we have a chance to give thanks. I think it's important to remember that it's not named Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving. And so because of that, we have a tradition in our family that regardless of however many or few may be around our Thanksgiving table, we always reserve time following the meal to to do just that, to give thanks. And this year was no exception. 17 people gathered around our table, and after we finished with all the turkey and trimmings and all that went with that, and several pieces of pie, we decided we would not rush off to watch the ball game, but we would sit there and share things for which we're grateful. I'm always careful not to put anyone on the spot. We don't take turns. We don't go from one to another, lest someone may not feel comfortable doing so. And we range in age from our youngest in his mid-teens all the way up to our age. And so it's a chance for us to hear from one another. It's always a time, and this year was no exception, of laughter, thoughtfulness, and a few tears. Because it is all shared in such authenticity, and it's all within the family. I thought as we finished how delightful it would have been to be able to invite two very special people to our table with us. One from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. And if I were asked to choose whom I would invite from the Old, it would be David. I could have chosen Moses or Elijah or far back as Adam or one of the prophets, but David would be one I would love to share a Thanksgiving meal with. Across the table from him, I would love to have invited Paul. Surprising to no one, I think the man would have things to say that would be worth our time. Both of them would. And I believe, as I imagine this scene, that David would not give thanks for having been promoted to the king of the land, or to be a man who was able to live in a palace and have eminent wealth and power. I think David would say rather quietly, I want to give my God thanks for his forgiveness. We would all pause to allow him room to go further if he wishes. Forgiveness for my failure, which everyone knows about now. Forgiveness for taking the life of a man who would have given his life for me as I stole his wife and as I lived in hypocrisy for a period of time. I doubt that I could remain free of tears as David would rehearse the 32nd Psalm and the 51st Psalm, which he wrote on the heels of those failures. Across the table would be Paul, who I believe would be there ready to encourage his brother David with words regarding grace. Grace. The apostle of grace would speak of grace. As a matter of fact, the whole foundation of forgiveness is grace. Think about it. Think how much more forgiving we would be if we demonstrated more grace. Someone has written, we are most like beasts when we kill. We are most like humans when we judge. We are most like God when we forgive. You see, we are willing to forgive to a point. Our forgiveness has its limitations. It has an ending. I mean, the same act over and over and over. Finally, we say, you know what? That's it. Get your life squared away, and then we'll talk about where we go from here. God doesn't say that. Matter of fact, the one who wrote the cartoon that found its way into the New Yorker magazine understood our limited forgiveness. It's the picture of a frustrated father frowning and looking into the face of his prodigal son and saying, You know, this is the fourth time I've killed a fatted calf. I mean, I'll kill it. I'll kill another one. I'm not going to keep on doing this, son. God never says that. Why? Well, remember the song, His love has no limits, His grace has no measure, His power has no boundary known unto men, for out of His riches in Jesus He giveth and giveth and giveth again. We could say He forgives and forgives and forgives again. That's why you are able to go on free of guilt and free of shame. Though you and I both have done the same things over and over and over and over again. And so just as we gave thanks in our last time together for God's forgiveness, today I want to prompt us to be thankful for God's grace, His grace. You know, not even Peter got it when he was walking with Jesus. Remember, he said, Lord, how many times shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? What you may not realize is the rabbis taught three times. So Peter was magnanimous. He doubles it and adds one for good measure. Seven times? And the Lord quickly responds, oh, 70 times seven. Now, we're not to take that literally. After 700 or 490 times, you know, bring down the club on them. The point is infinitely. Infinitely. That's what God has done for us. And to make matters even more interesting, He does that for people so unworthy. It's remarkable, isn't it? Grace lies at the root of forgiveness. The stronger we are in grace, the stronger we are in forgiving. Because God is infinitely gracious, an infinite number of times He's willing to forgive unworthy sinners like you and me. Let me explain it in economic terms. May I do that? Let's say that God's righteousness could be measured in wealth. Because He is all righteous, because He is pristinely pure, He is infinitely righteous. That means He has riches in righteousness that cannot be measured. And here we are, sinners by birth, by nature, and by choice, wholly and completely depraved, abjectly poor, no riches. In fact, we don't have two pennies to rub together that would make for righteousness. And here is this eminently wealthy God of righteousness coming to people like you and like me, abjectly poor, without a penny to our name in righteousness, and He declares us righteous. That's marvelous news. In fact, the songwriter puts it, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. I have nothing that will somehow merit the favor of God. Nevertheless, though that is true, He declares righteous the believing sinner while we're still in a sinning state. Isn't that remarkable? Though declared righteous, which is the definition of justification, though declared righteous, we go right on sinning, and He never writes us off. never writes us off. Let me show this to you in the scriptures. Look at the second letter Paul wrote to the Corinthians. We're going to go to our apostle of grace for the counsel here. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, sort of sums it up. Just before Galatians is 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Look closely. For you know the grace, there's our word. You know the unmerited favor of God. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was rich, there we are with those righteous riches, who though he was infinitely rich, yet for your sake he became poor. That's the incarnation. That's Bethlehem. That's the womb of Mary. Infinitely filled with riches, he emptied himself and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even a cross kind of death. That's what he means by he became poor. That's grace. Now, why did he do it? Look, so that you, through his poverty, might be rich. God's that righteous, and we are that unrighteous. Christ comes to our rescue, and we become as righteous as his son. The founder of Dallas Seminary, Lewis Sperry Chafer, on occasion would see theology in hymns that others would miss. I understand on one occasion he heard folks singing, "Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, still nearer." He decided another line needs to be added. "Nearer, still nearer, nearer I cannot be. For in the person of his son, I am as near as he." That's good news. That's great news. You could not be nearer to God than you are when you believe, the moment you believe, and you are never not near to him from then on. Positionally, you are actually in Christ. In Christ. In the righteous one. That's grace. Now, turn back a page to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You'll see a familiar verse at verse 17. I love the subject. This is my all-time favorite doctrine, in case you hadn't guessed. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, here we are, we're an undeserving sinner, and we trust in Jesus. He places us into Christ. If anyone is in Christ, what? He is a new creature. He's a new creation. That's grace. And to make it even clearer, the old things are passed away, and new things have come. Don't stop reading. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. That marvelous. He's given us in turn a ministry of reconciliation. Turn from this to Titus chapter 3. I know, we'll get to Galatians. Relax. Titus chapter 3. Does my Bible have time? There it is. Sometime I wonder if the kids have cut out the page or something yet. Titus 3, verse 5. I love this. He saved us. The word means to rescue. He rescued us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. What would that be? Well, I give a lot of money. I pray more than others. I give up my own will. I'm really sincere in living a clean life. I make God a lot of promises. All of these are righteous things. But he says it is not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us, there's our word, richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that being justified by works, no, look again. So that being declared righteous by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There it is. Now then, you have patiently waited for us to get to Galatians. Let me tell you why I have you turn to Galatians. This church was founded by the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of Grace. He brought the good news of the grace of God to them. He explained to them that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his grace he rescues us. And the people believed it. The people of Galatia believed it. They were thrilled. Who isn't thrilled to hear that if I may say it this way, God has picked up the tab. He gives us the feast of righteousness and he takes care of all the bills. Christ's work is finished work. We're not to finish what's already been finished. It's not unfinished work. It's finished. It's complete. The Galatian people believe that. Until a group of legalists moved in. Paul is gone. And the Judaizers came on the scene saying, wait, hold it. It's okay if you believe in Jesus, that's fine, but you must be circumcised. You must acknowledge and keep the law. And those ceremonies you must observe and we would add today, you must be baptized. You must give up your sins. I never met anybody that could do that, but that's one of them that they name. You've heard it. Those are all words that come from people who believe in salvation by works. It's either by grace or by works. There's not any in between. Most religions today are based on works. That's why most people today who worship are miserable or fearful. There's nothing like legalism to take the joy out of life. They are not only grace killers, they are joy thieves. And here we have grace to live in and joy as a result. So Paul says to them in verse 6, I am amazed. He sits down to write them, having heard what they had fallen into. They had begun to drift into the reasoning of the legalists. They began to tolerate the thought, maybe we do need to. After all, those people have been around longer than we have. Maybe we need to pay attention. And Paul says, I am amazed at you folks. Verse 6, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him. Look at the word desert. Metatithemi is the word, and it means to transfer one's allegiance. It's used of soldiers who desert or revolt. They once fought on our side, and the battle got hot enough to where they slipped away from our lines, and they got behind enemy lines, and they changed uniforms. We call them turncoats. We call them traitors. Notice who we desert, not the gospel, Christ. You're deserting him.
You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll that was originally delivered to his home congregation during the Thanksgiving holiday. Today, we're giving thanks for God's grace. It's the second message in a two-part series called Guilt, Grace, and Gratitude. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. And then as you think about the impact of Chuck's teaching on your life, and as God prompts you, we invite you to join us in bringing the good news of God's grace to people around the world. Your gift, no matter the size, allows us to provide Chuck's teaching on the radio, the internet, through our mobile app, and the many other outlets where Insight for Living is heard. I can assure you, your donation does far more than pay the bills. Your gift has an impact on real people who struggle with real issues. And through this program, they begin to understand how God's grace is the answer. Not long ago, we received this note from a 74-year-old listener. His name is Charlie, and he said, "I've been working diligently to follow Christ for 10 years, but I find myself failing on a daily basis." This man went on to describe his lifetime battle with depression. And then he added, "Your Bible teaching is changing my behavior by changing the way I think. It's not only impacting my life, but it impacts my friends and family as well." Well, we hope you're encouraged by Charlie's note. When you give, you're truly making a difference. To give a donation today, call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888. Many in our listening family have chosen to reinforce their commitment to this cause by becoming a monthly companion of grace. To join the team, go online to insight.org/monthly-companion. Or give us a call. If you're listening in the U.S., call 800-772-8888. We look forward to hearing from you soon. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us next time when Chuck Swindoll invites us to give thanks for God's grace on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Giving Thanks for God's Grace, was copyrighted in 2011, 2012, and 2023, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2023 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.